Salutations, everyone, Foofer fans.
Yes. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. How are you? We were just talking about, that's from Tiger King, Tara. We were just
Tiger King. Tiger King.
Yeah, that's what the woman says. She starts it every time. She goes, hey, all you cool cats and kittens. So I thought we needed to adopt it.
I love it. I think it's groovy. And we should keep it.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, we'll take it.
It will be our cat phrase.
Ah, it's so good. So good.
This is Foofara, where the little things are a big deal. Coming at you from our rooms, I mean studios, in Seattle and Dallas. We're your hosts and lifestyle gurus, Maddie and Tara.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our third episode of Foofara. I'm Tara.
I'm Maddie.
And we have a very special, highly esteemed guest, Kenya!
Yay, Kenya!
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Kenya has many talents, and I have often said I would trust Kenya with my life. If I had to call in jail, I would call Kenya. In every situation, and I am super excited to have you today. We are.
Kenya is the woman. And in case I can share this information, Kenya was a firefighter back in her day, which was like, I don't know, just 100 days ago? I
don't know. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But I did that in high school. I don't do that anymore.
How did you even like find out you could do that as a high schooler? Like, did you sign up or like?
Yeah, so I went to a youth group meeting and there was a girl who had just signed up. She had like not just signed up, she had just finished her fire school training, and then the fire squad, they had someone come to the school during our like work exhibit day. So they had like a ton of like, you know, tables and stuff, and I was walking around and there was the chaplain, and he was like, hey, do you think this could be for you? And I was like, sure, you know, might as well. I knew I needed to get some volunteering in, like I've always wanted to help the community out. And it was either that or volunteering at a hospital. And one of my friends told me he didn't really get to do much. He was just filing paperwork. And I felt like, you know, that wasn't the action that I needed. Yeah, so someone just came in and I signed up and I showed up and started going to fire school.
But that's amazing, Kenya. Girl, you're on fire. Not literally.
No, probably not.
Wow. So I think Maddie, I agree with her 100%. Kenya is the person to call when you're in a jam.
Seriously, that's what I'm saying. Like, I could never. And were you like, so what did you do like when you were like, say there's an emergency, like what was your role?
What was my role?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So when somebody calls 911, when someone would call 911, an operator would answer. And depending on how much information you give them, they rank your call. So if you give them a ton of information, your call gets put in first. If they have little information, you're like a basic, you know, like rando call, right? Mm. So then we get notified, these tones drop. So the entire firehouse, you hear it. There's no way you can't hear it. Like if you're sleeping, the lights shut on and it's super loud. And a voice is like, engine 624, engine 618, ladder, whatever. You need to go now. This is what's happening. So you have 2 minutes. And so we have to train with our 2 minute drills to get to the engine and go. Mm-hmm. And I would go, and people would know that I wasn't like a high in command because of the shirt I was wearing. So the shirt I was wearing was red and everyone else was wearing blue shirts. And I would sit facing backwards in an engine and I would have like my headset on. I could listen to what's going on and whatever they needed me to do, I would help. And as I progressed with like what I was learning, I could help them more and more and more. So if there was, I never finished completely through fire school because fire school is a really long time. And I joined kind of later and then I had to go to college, right? Mm-hmm. So I could, if there was a fire, like a building was on fire, I could put it out with a hose from the outside. I wasn't allowed to go inside because I didn't completely finish my training. But anything like that. Also basic life support. So when they call for an ambulance, we would go assist as well. So anything with, like, if somebody can't breathe, you help them calm down until the ambulance gets there. Anything with cuts, anything, you know, basic stuff like that.
Wow, that's so crazy. Mm-hmm. Wow, and just thinking about how many times the fire trucks had to come to Spotswood this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I was about to say, I feel very lucky that I lived right above someone with prior firefighting experience.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. Because Spotswood didn't catch on fire, but we had so many incidents.
And I don't how many fire alarms are there? Like 7, 8?
It felt like that. And then the one in the snow.
Oh, yeah. That was terrible.
I had to go outside in the snow with my shower shoes. Oh.
I was asleep and I didn't go outside with a sweater. I was freezing.
Yeah.
But I did. I always felt safer. I was like, well, Kenya actually knows what to do.
Leave the building.
Yeah.
This might be a very stupid question. Correction, I know this is a very stupid question, but did you actually have to slide down a pole?
We actually didn't have those. So they were considered a safety hazard because sometimes people wouldn't reach the pole and fall through. So lots of, where I live in Loudoun County, they don't have firemen poles.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I know, sad. I was kind of looking forward to that. So usually what they have is where you sleep. You sleep above the where the engines and everything is. So you would just get up and slide down. You'd be right where the engine is. Our bunker rooms were like off to the side. You go down a hallway and there was the engine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it seems like the topic of poles was very polarizing. And that maybe you had to take a poll to find out how many people.
Oh my gosh.
I'll just stop right here.
I love it. It just comes off the top of your head. I could never.
Yeah, I don't know how she does it. She's got magic.
Magic? Some would say magic. Other would say substance. But but I'd like to attribute all of this mess to magic.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Now, there's an elephant in the room. No. Correction, dog or cat in the room that I'd like to address. And with that very bad segue, I'd like to transition to our first topic of conversation, which is the very controversial, divisive dog versus cat debate.
Mm-hmm. And, Kenya, this was a suggestion for us to talk about.
Yeah.
We need to bring you in the mix. Do you have pets?
I have 2 chinchillas.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I don't have a dog or a cat. My sister's allergic, so we can't have a dog or a cat. And apparently, you know, dogs, even the ones that are considered hyperallergenic, they aren't. They all create pet dander. And that's all something that, like, you know, causes allergies. So people have been lied to. Those dogs still create stuff that can get you, you know, like all sniffly and whatever reaction you get. My sister's actually also allergic to the chinchillas. So she picks them up, she gets hives. But she still picks them up.
Yeah, my sister's allergic to chinchillas.
That's crazy.
It's a bummer because they're really cute.
They're like, so soft.
What are they like a mix of? They're like a mix of like a rodent and like a koala or something.
Yeah.
So they have like a tail, like a longish tail, and it curls in. And then they're just this huge fluff ball. So most people, like yesterday, I gave one of them a bath. And people were like, oh, is that a bunny? And I'm like, no. And I held it up and I'm like, it's a chinchilla.
You give it a bath outside?
Yeah. So they don't take wet baths. They aren't allowed to get wet because their fur is so like dense that it would never dry and they would probably like die from like being wet for so long.
So they need like steam baths?
No steam, dust. They flip over and over in dust, and that dust absorbs the oils and stuff in their fur, and it falls off their fur. Like afterwards you can like brush them off and they're clean.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew this. So you just find a bunch of like what, like wood chips or something? Like
no, so I buy this kind of dust from like some rock and they like pulverize it and I put it in a box and they like roll around it. So you just see like this fat rodent thing just like flipping around in dust. And he gets it everywhere, but he loves it. Like, if he can do that every day, all day, he probably would.
Oh, that's so cute.
Oh my gosh. I mean, anything that involves pulverizing, I'm just immediately a fan.
And Sarah, you have dogs, right?
I do, and I thought they were hypoallergenic right until now.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I got to rain on my parade.
But I mean, but like, isn't it the placebo effect? Like, if you feel like you aren't getting sick from your dog specifically, then keep believing that.
Thanks. That because I feel so much safer now. because I've been living apparently in blissful ignorance right until now. I guess it's a really dog eat dog world.
Right. I have two cats.
So we have a nice
diversity here, don't
yeah.
we?
Yes. I don't believe in cats though.
What? What do you mean you don't believe in cats? Them. They exist.
I acknowledge their presence from afar, but I don't believe in the existence of them.
What do you
mean? I don't believe in their purpose, okay?
Like, they don't do anything. This is a common complaint I hear.
And I know, I'm apologize if we're going to get into a fight, and we'll fight like cats and dogs about this. We'll cat fight like this. But dogs look up to their owner. But cats look down on them, and
where did you get this conclusion from?
Ratatouille.
What?
Ratatouille. There's a Pixar short with the characters from Ratatouille, mm-hmm. and they explain like what position a rat has in the society of domesticated animals, and a rat apparently is one of the most perfect animal companions you could have because they're very intelligent. Mm-hmm. And very resourceful, though a lot of people see them as vermin.
I think they're disgusting.
I think cats are the vermin.
Cats are the vermin. No,
actually, you know, Maya, your dorm mate Tara, she told me that where her family's from, somewhere in I think Israel, that cats are just completely covering the city. Like, their population is so immense that people just see them as like vermin. And when her family visits her in New York and they see her cats, they're like, ew, why do you have cats?
That's so interesting.
Yeah, but like, so I don't have the pleasure of having a cat or a dog, right? So I go to my neighbor's house, right? So I live in a townhouse, like little cul-de-sac, right? And sometimes I gotta go babysit. And one family has these two cats and they're awesome. Like, I don't get the problem with cats. Like, they're really chill. They actually like water. So if they see running water, they like run to it. Like, they love it.
They're tricking you.
They're tricking me?
They're masters in artifice. It's just all one big facade that they're creating. Don't buy into it.
Where did this hatred come from? Like, who said these cats are awful?
Cats, for some reason, don't like me. Every time I walk
past, you just haven't met a good cat yet.
And anybody who doesn't like me, Maddie, is I just immediately assume they're either a cat person or there's just something fundamentally wrong.
I'm just saying, like, these cats, like, my neighbor's cats are really chill. There's this one orange cat that walks around my neighborhood. His name is Gumpy. He does whatever he wants. He just walks around. He's a fat orange cat. And he was like, you know, he was just some random cat. And this old lady, of like, neighbor of mine, just put a collar on him and called him Gumpy. But he just chills. Yeah, he just chills.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but like, but then on the other side, the other spectrum, you know, the dogs, like, my neighbor has a Great Dane mixed lab. He's 180 pounds. This dog is massive. When he stands up, he's taller than me. He's like 6 foot something.
Wow.
On his hind leg.
I thought you were about to say he's 180 years old.
Oh no.
But Kenya, where did you get your chinchilla? Like, can you just go to Petco and buy a chinchilla?
Yeah, so my first one was some lady. One of my mom's coworkers was like, I need to get rid of this chinchilla because her mother-in-law was moving in and she was like allergic. Mm-hmm. So she was like, can you just take care of this, my chinchilla, until, you know, I find somebody. 3 months later, still nothing. I have this chinchilla in my house. I have fallen in love. This chinchilla is mine. And I named him George. They didn't even give him a name. His name was Chinch for chinchilla. Like,
that's lazy.
I was like, his name's George and my last name's Lopez. So he's George Lopez. And then I was buying pet food for him. And I saw they had baby chinchillas at PetSmart, and me and my mom, my sister, we're all there. We're like, oh my gosh, can we ask to hold them? So people come out, my mom holds him and she's like, he's mine, we're buying him right now. Like, I didn't have to beg or anything. My mom was like, we're taking him home, because he was the cutest thing. They're like super tiny. He was just so soft, and my mom was in love. And so we paid whatever, $150 or something like that.
Yeah.
And took him home to George. And it was a good thing too, because chinchillas can be, well, can get depression from being alone. So you're supposed to always buy them in pairs. So I didn't know if George was depressed. So I was like, you know what? We're just gonna.
Yeah, we need to help George.
Introduce Max.
Some animals, like you put, like hamsters, right? Like if you put them together, like eat each other, right?
What?
No! Hamsters don't.
Oh my gosh.
What? Okay. I know that's true of some spiders, because I was watching a nature documentary.
I definitely know that about spiders. I'm a spider lad.
And like that tarantula lady was just about to devour her mate. And you have to be really careful. And that's one case of domestic disorder that happens a lot in the rainforest that you have to be really careful of.
Spiders don't usually eat their mate. They tend to avoid doing that because they like making babies, if that makes sense. Like, they want to procreate and make babies. But if there isn't enough nutrition, if there isn't enough food for them, they will eat.
Man,
Papa,
don't want to get the
spider
wife upset then.
Yeah. Happy wife, happy life. Maybe that's exactly where that came from.
Yeah,
I'm reading that hamsters are territorial.
Yes, that's true.
So they do not like to be together, and they will attack each other. Can you imagine little hamsters attacking each other?
Going at it.
I used to have a hamster, and then we left the door open to the cage. This was like years ago, and I was like in elementary school, and then it escaped to my house, and I never saw it again.
What? Yeah. We had the same thing, except mine knew how to open the cage door. And my mom saw him in the kitchen and put him back in, and she's going to work.
It opened his cage?
Yeah. So the door was on the top of the cage. So you had so he would go like monkey bars across and push it up and get out of the cage.
I thought they were like really stupid. That's
no, this one was smart. This is the smartest hamster I've ever seen in my life, because we had to put like stuff on top of the door so he wouldn't escape.
You know,
do you have a pet rat then, if you're so gung-ho about rats?
If I have a pet rat, that means I will become homeless. My parents will kick me out. Yeah. I'm on thin ice with them as it is, Maddie, and I don't want to be homeless. So the rat, the fancy rat, will have to wait. Yeah. Did you know my name spelled backwards is actually a rat?
I hadn't thought about it.
It was clearly meant to be.
That's great.
I actually made a palindrome. Do you know what a palindrome? That means a sentence that's spelled the same backwards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Tara sees a rat.
Whoa.
Ooh, yeah, that's good. That's good.
My brother, when he's irked, which he often is, he calls me a rat.
I mean, you could probably roast him for not being able to read right. You know, you're supposed to read your name left to right, not right to left.
You know what, Kenya? I will do that. I will roast him like that. Wow, roast is such an empowering verb. You know, I just feel more powerful and influential when you're about to roast someone.
Yeah, I just imagine, like, you know those pigs that they roast over a fire and they're turning them?
Okay.
When you, like, have a roast session, you're just, like, you become that pig and you're just being turned over.
That's not a very good image.
I mean, if you're getting slammed by digs, then yeah.
I was thinking more of, like, a barista, you know? You know, what? The dark roast.
No, oh my God. I was like, what are you talking about? I think of like being like a marshmallow. It's just over a fire. Like just getting roasted. Like that's what's happening to you. That's what my mom does to me all the time. She's just over a flame. She's getting toasted.
Maddie, what do you think of when you think of someone roasting?
I think of fire. Coffee was not my radar. But now that you say it, I'm just never going to stop picturing it and associating it with coffee. So thank you.
Thank you. I've done a great service. Mm-hmm. It's fitting that Kenya would think of like a roast because she's a firefighter, so she would know how to
She can extinguish the roast. Like, she won't even take it, you know?
No.
Yeah. She's immune.
I had the protective gear.
Hiya! Thanks for listening to our podcast, Fufaraw. Our listeners' input is so essential to our show, kind of like dairy. Unless, of course, you are vegan or lactose intolerant. On second thought, that was a bad example. Anywho, please email us your ideas, your thoughts, your Fufaraw to fufaraw.theworld@gmail.com. By the way, for copyright purposes, the name of the catchy tune we use in our intro is called Mouthful of Diamonds by Fantagram.